Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Some of you, in fact, probably most of you may know that a couple of months ago, I started dating Jess Brocklebank. And as I was thinking about this passage this morning, it sort of struck me that I'd get a bit fed up if instead of spending some time with me, she spent her time gazing at the photograph of me that she has in her room. Or instead of having dinner with me one evening, she decided that she'd just sit in her room and eat the chocolates that I gave her. Or perhaps instead of spending time with me this Friday, she spends her time in her room gazing at the flowers that I gave her last week. I'd get a bit miffed, wouldn't I? Just trying to show up David here. I did buy some flowers last week. Of course I bought some flowers last week. But you see, the thing is, what's important isn't the fact that she's got flowers or chocolates or whatever. But it is important. What's more important is that she spends time with me. That those things remind her of me but don't take my place in her life. That's what's important. And there's a little bit of that going on in this passage that we heard from 1 Samuel. Now, it comes just after that bit where Samuel is called as a boy to be a prophet. And the very first verse before this passage is in chapter 3, verse 21. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word, and Samuel's word came to all Israel. So just before this, we hear that God is speaking to the Israelites through Samuel. And it's interesting, I don't know if you remember, Samuel doesn't appear in this passage at all. So we begin, don't we? The Israelites gather up their army and they head out to fight the Philistines. No mention of Samuel, no mention of God. And then it's all a bit passive. The Philistines deployed their forces to meet Israel. And Israel was defeated on the battlefield. They lost. And about 4,000 of their soldiers were killed. And so the elders, the leaders who should know better, they came together and they said, "What's gone wrong? We've lost. We've been defeated. What should they do? They should pray. And they should go and seek the word of the prophet Samuel to see what God wants them to do." But that's not what they do. They decide themselves, "Let us bring the Ark of the Lord's Covenant from Shiloh." That's where Samuel is. So they even go to where Samuel is to get the Ark, so that he may go with us and save us from the hand of our enemies. So they sent the men to Shiloh, where Samuel is. They didn't speak to Samuel. They went to get the ark and they brought it back with Hophni and Phinehas. Now, these are Eli's sons. Eli is the priest. And if you remember, he's the one that Samuel goes to three times when God calls to him. He's a very old man and he's served faithfully, but his sons do not. His sons are wicked. They abuse their position. They are not faithful leaders. And God has promised, it's not a very nice promise, but he's promised to Eli that he will remove Eli's family from their position of authority in Israel. And instead of them, Samuel will lead the people. So Hophni and Phinehas, they come, not Samuel. They come with the ark and the people are really excited. This is it now. We've got this thing. This is the magic box that's going to help us to win. And the Philistines are a bit afraid at first. They hear this mighty uproar and they say, "What's going on?" They're kind of camped on opposite sides of the plain and they can hear the Israelites shouting and making this massive noise. "Nothing like this has happened before," they say. "We're doomed." Think Fraser. "We're doomed! Who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods?" They'd heard the stories of Egypt, of the terrible plagues that God had inflicted on the people there. And they were afraid. And what do they say? Verse 9, "Let's man up," they say. "Come on, Philistines, be men. or you will be subject to the Hebrews. Be men and fight. And then there's this curious verse. Verse 10. So the Philistines fought, and the Israelites were defeated. It's interesting, isn't it? The Philistines fought. It's almost as if the people of Israel, they had their magic box, so they couldn't be bothered to fight. That box was going to do it all for them. They just had to show up with the box, and everything would be fine. But it wasn't. The Philistines fought, and the Israelites were defeated. And the slaughter this time, the first time they lost 4,000 soldiers, this time they lost 30,000 soldiers. They were routed. They fled. They ran away back to their tents. The ark was captured, and Eli's sons, as God prophesied through Samuel, were killed. And in fact, in the next chapter, when Eli hears about the death of his sons, he basically falls off his chair and breaks his neck, and he dies as well. It is a disaster, an absolute unmitigated disaster for Israel. And it's all because they put their faith in a box rather than the God to whom that box pointed. Like the picture of me, like the flowers, like the chocolates that Jess has, they aren't me. They are no substitute, hopefully, for me. This box was not God. There's nothing wrong with the box. God had given them the box. The box was a sign that he was with them. But instead of going to fetch the box and just bringing it and assuming that the box would make everything okay, what they should have done was get on their knees and pray. What they should have done was ask Samuel, because he was the one through whom God was speaking. And they knew that. It says, chapter 4, verse 1, Samuel's word came to all Israel, and that word was God's word. Now, there are all sorts of things that God has given us which help us to know his presence with us, which help us to worship him and listen to him. Doesn't matter what church tradition you come from, there are all sorts of things that we have. We have the bread and the wine of communion. We have the waters of baptism. We have special prayers that we like to say, words that we use in church. We have things that we do, ways that we do things. And they are supposed to help us, to point us to God. Like the Ark of the Covenant was supposed to point people to God. It wasn't supposed to take his place. It wasn't supposed to be more important to them than prayer, than listening to God himself. There was nothing wrong with the ark. What was wrong was the way they used it. And it stands as a warning to us. All these things that we have that God has given us that are well and good, which help us to worship, which help direct us to God, they are good as long as they don't take his place. As long as they don't become more important to us than God himself. The Israelites forgot to pray. They forgot to seek God's word and put their trust instead in a magic box. Well, that's never going to end well. And it didn't. So let's all of us heed that warning. Let us see the things that God has given us as what they are. Signs which point to God, but which are not God himself, and should not take his place. And I'll let you know if Jess does spend the day with me on Friday, rather than my flowers. Amen. Amen.